Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. Today's program is a special in our News in Review series. Much has been happening lately in the sad and frustrating Hayley Cummings case, and TJ Hart of the Sky 97.3 has graciously agreed to do a one-on-one show with me to talk about these new developments. In order to cover as much ground as possible, we are not going to be accepting calls for this program. However, our chat room is open, as is TJ's Twitter account, and we'll be keeping a close eye on both of them for any interesting questions or thoughts. TJ, welcome.
Well, thank you very much, Simon. And for the folks who want to follow along on Twitter, it's twitter.com/, in capital letters, the sky 973, the word dot spelled out, D-O-T, and the word com. And that'll get you on there. And we did a little bit of this while I was on live last night with Nancy Grace, and I found it fascinating. And it's a different way of communicating with people. So many times people yell at their TV set, and they can't get through to Nancy, and they might have something that they could perhaps feed on or feed us a question or two. And I thought it would be a remarkable tool. So we're going to see how it goes without using the phone. So everybody gets through.
So we're all going to become Twitterers.
Yeah, well, I've been accused of that a few times.
Right. Yes, I think I probably have as well. You mentioned Nancy. Let's actually kick off.
Yes.
With last night's show.
Last night's show was a bit of a surprise because I went home briefly to see where my clothes live, and maybe see if my wife and youngster knew who I was. And I got a phone call from New York, from CNN Headline News in New York, informing me Beth Carey, one of the producers for Nancy Grace. She said, "Well, we just want to let you know that Ronald Cummings is going to be on." I about dropped my teeth. I said, "Well, that's fantastic. I think people need to hear from him. Will Misty be on as well?" I was under the impression she would be, and then as we got to airtime, it was not. It was just Ronald and his lawyer Terry Shoemaker from St. Augustine. They used the Jacksonville studio, which I've used a couple times. Quite nice, I might add. And the questioning by Nancy Grace started off, pumping Ron up, but then she quickly got a little annoyed. I want to play a little clip from this. This is pretty much how it started.
Ronald Cummings. This is little Haley's father. He has never shied away from the camera and answering your questions, taking calls live. He apparently has nothing to hide, and with him, his attorney, Terry Shoemaker, a well-respected attorney. They're joining us from Jacksonville, Florida. Ronald, thank you for being with us again.
Thank you for having us.
Liz, please put Ronald on screen for me. Ronald, what do you make of Missy flunking a polygraph?
I don't know anything about her flunking a polygraph. I know what's been said about it, but I'm not a polygrapher myself, so I didn't see any results. I didn't get to, I was told by the polygrapher who did the polygraph that it's not judged in percentages, that the polygraph is either a failed or a pass, not in a percentages.
Well, okay, let's take what you know, that you either fail it or you pass it. Well, according to these reports, she flunked it. I mean, royally flunked it. And that's got to concern you.
Well, until I see more physical proof of what's going on, Miss Nancy, my concerns are still on keeping Haley's face on the TV and being sure that she is found and whoever has done this to her is put away.
Okay, Ronald. I understand that you want to keep Haley's face out there, and we are doing that. But I know you, and I do not believe you are not concerned about a report that your wife flunked a polygraph. It would concern me.
Nancy, if I might, you know, of course Ronald's concerned about a lot of things going on right now, but I think the main thing he's concerned about is making sure that Haley is found. And, you know, again, we'd like to thank you for keeping Haley in the spotlight and making sure everyone continues to look for and helping us every way you possibly can. But, you know, we're more concerned with that aspect rather than whether or not Missy may or may not have done well on a polygraph.
You know, Mr. Shoemaker, you have an excellent reputation. And what you just said does not make one ounce of sense. Of course you want her picture out there. Of course you want the help of the media. But for the last person known to have seen Haley alive, to have reportedly flunked a polygraph, how you can suggest that is not a major concern? You want to find her? You want to find Haley? Then find out why Misty reportedly flunked a polygraph. Gentlemen, does that not make sense to you? Ronald Cummings, I would like to hear it from you.
Nancy, what you're saying makes perfect sense to me, but why is law enforcement? I'm not law enforcement. I can't interfere with their investigation. I can't do anything about a polygraph or any
results. Well, what is she telling you, Ronald? What is she telling you? I mean, she took that police polygraph. I don't believe she passed it the first time. I don't believe she did. Now this one. Then there was that voice stress test. I mean, something is wrong with her story, Ronald.
I don't know, Miss Nancy.
And the evasive no answer pretty much took place the rest of the night. In fact, there was a break that took place right then and there, and Nancy said, look, Ronald, we're off the air, and she had a consultation with him. I did not hear what that consultation was, and I don't know if she was just trying to get them to answer the questions or not. They did go back to some experts. They tried it once again with Ronald, went away to more experts, and then on the last try, he answered a brief series of questions, basically the same ones over and over again. He appeared to be a guy who didn't fare too well on the television program last night by not directly answering some of the rather pointed questions, as you just heard Miss Grace ask of him. He appeared to be a man who was torn between desperately trying to find his daughter and also desperately trying to see to it that no harm came to his wife as well. And if you put yourself in at least in that mindset for a second, I think you can empathize. I'm not saying you can sympathize, but I think you can empathize with the young man.
I was confused last night.
Well, I am too. I'm still confused.
Right, but I confused.
I'm trying to be fair, and I'm trying to be balanced, but yes, I'm with you. I'm still confused.
No one's accusing Misty of doing it.
No, that's absolutely correct. Law enforcement isn't.
Right.
No, you aren't. I'm not. Who would do that? There's nothing to indicate that she had part of a plot or a plan to conspire to do this.
Right, and no one's accusing Ronald.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least not that I'm aware of.
In fact, the Putnam County Sheriff's Office on Haley's sixth birthday says he is not considered a suspect. Neither is Crystal Sheffield.
Right. So there's more to this story. I mean, it was clear last night that Ronald wasn't going to say anything other than name, rank, and serial number.
Mm-hmm.
Why he even went on the show was kind of a mystery to me. And, you know, you were telling the story about being shocked when you received the call from CNN. I was just as shocked when I heard that he was going to be on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course I watched. And every minute that he was on, the more frustrated I became. I don't think he achieved whatever it was he thought he was going to achieve. All he did was create further doubt and discontent with the entire goings on. Let's talk about this this whole polygraph thing.
Yes, let's do.
All right. Now, I have a good friend who is an ex-FBI agent. In fact, he was the lead investigator in the hunt for the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski.
Mm-hmm.
He was also the lead investigator for the hunt for Eric Rudolph, the mm-hmm. Olympic bomber. And I've talked to him several times on the subject of polygraphs.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, sure, they're not admissible in court. Everyone knows this. But they are a wonderful tool if they're put in the hands of someone that knows how to use them. And that isn't so much, you know, where to connect the wires. It is more a question of what questions are asked, how they're asked, how you
mm-hmm.
establish the baseline, a whole bunch of stuff. It's an art form. Now, I understand that the polygrapher involved is actually a very well-known gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a lot of experience, and, you know, the police, the FBI, etc., would not use someone that they didn't trust. Now, I know that this particular test was not administered by law enforcement, but the person conducting the test has this wonderful resume.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that he's right 100% of the time, but I'll bet he's right 99% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have all of this absolute nonsense from Ronald about, oh, well, you know, I don't trust these things. And last night was a great example of, you know, the, quote, experts on Nancy Grace talking about the inadmissibility of polygraphs in court.
I think some of that was educational. The other, that was just a little bit of a segue to cool her down because she was getting pretty upset.
Right. Now, one of the things that came out of... Well, actually, before we go there, look, what do you know about the actual story? Now, as I understand it, Tim Miller invited mm-hmm. her and Ronald to Orlando, supposedly as a way to escape the clutches of Putnam County for a couple of days.
Well, I do have some sound queued up here. I hope it's at the right spot. And this is Tim Miller. I just got off the phone with him, by the way. I mean, we just wrapped this up minutes before the interview. So I'm going to go ahead and let Tim talk here.
So, you know, I met with law enforcement, and law enforcement said, you know what, we really don't have, and actually drove around that area a lot. And of course, when, and after driving around, I certainly realized that the best time to find Haley, if she was findable, would have been back there at the time that she disappeared, because now all the vegetation is just so very, very thick, and there's been a lot of rain up there. And of course, everybody knows what we went through with the Kaylee Anthony search because of high water and you know, conditions. And so, you know, hopefully we learn a little bit more after every search. So I told them there really wasn't anything that we could do search-wise at this very moment, but, you know, 4 to 6 weeks down the road, we'll kind of look at it again and you know, see where vegetation's at, the other, you know, see how dry the ground is, and go from there. Misty said, I'm just sick and tired of everybody just pointing the finger at me. They say I'm the key that holds, I hold the key to the disappearance of Haley. And she said, I just want to be cleared. I want to be cleared. She says, I do not trust law enforcement. They are trying to set me up. They claim I took 3 polygraph tests, and they're telling me I failed all 3 of them. And she said, and I don't trust them. She says, is there any way that you can get me another polygraph test from somebody else? And this is the first time any family members ever approached us with anything quite like that. And it was like, I called Mark James, and I said, Mark, what are, you know, what do we do in a situation like this? I said, hell, I don't know a polygrapher or anything. And Mark said, if she really wants to do this, let me call a polygrapher that I'll use. He's very, very qualified. He's got...
And we'll leave it at there because he kind of rambles on a little bit. But Misty did ask for that that polygraph, and then she's upset about it. She claims she got tricked, and she was a little bit upset about this, that, and the other. And then she changed her mind. She wanted to take some more tests. She wanted to take a voice stress test. She wanted to do something that could possibly clear her. And then she started to kind of back off of that again. And I'm going to pick it up here with Tim Miller talking about what happened the days between the polygraph and the day that the other tests were going to be taking place, the voice stress. And he makes reference to Annette Sykes, Ron's grandmother, the woman who Ron and Misty are living with at this time. And here's how it goes.
Ronald's grandmother went in the trailer. And anyhow, there was some yelling going on, and Misty was in there, and Ronald's grandmother came back out and said, I told the little bitch, if she wants to live two more days, she better take these tests.
And subsequently, she took the test.
Ouch.
So.
that didn't sound like a very friendly exchange.
Well, you're talking about a lot of people who are living on the edge of their nerves right now. You got a missing kid. I mean, there's going to be some rough language, and there's going to be some tension, and that's just going to happen. Folks aren't just going to necessarily, speak like they're in church when you're upset like this, and you're trying to get to finding a loved one. So I understand the rough talk that takes place in this. I really do. I'd
now,
like to say that I don't, but I do.
Right now. What we just heard from Tim Miller is 180 degrees from what First Coast News reported when talking to Misty.
Yes, that's true. What happened yesterday is we were led to believe that there was going to be a 1 o'clock press conference at the lawyer's office in St. Augustine, and News Jax 4 and First Coast News were, and a few others were hanging around there. A couple of my stringers were, pounding the pavement, and you're getting paid by the hour. I don't have a budget. But anyway, that presser didn't take place. What it was a setup for a recorded meeting, and that recording meeting wound up being an exclusive with First Coast News, and they're a very, very, very respected news agency in Northeast Florida and parts of Georgia as well. And I'm going to go ahead and play you a segment from this because Misty and Ron speak out on the testing, and to a degree, Misty's crying foul. You're actually going to hear her speak. Now, I will tell you, we've had people on the Twitter asking me, why is it that Misty doesn't go on Nancy Grace? Well, between Nancy and between Jane Velez Mitchell and also Prime News, she's been asked several times to do so. And, well, you've seen the result. I'm going to switch you now to this video or audio clip from First Coast News. And we got to get through this little piece here first. But what it is they're in the lawyer's office with Terry Shoemaker, and one of the reporters from First Coast News is at the table with them, and they're getting ready to speak. Here you'll hear the anchors toss it to them.
Look at the numbers, folks.
And they're going to be getting into the meat of this, and you're going to hear all kinds of allegations that Misty makes that there was some kind of a trickiness going on here, and for some reason we just lost that, and I don't know why. They put up the weather instead. So here we go. Once again, let's give this a shot, and we're going to see if we can cue up this audio here for you anyway. And then Tim Miller discounts pretty much everything Misty claims in this little 3-minute clip, and he pretty much blows it out of the water. But when you hear this, it's like, what? And you're wondering just who's telling the truth and where.
Anything in their latest search for Haley Cummings.
The little girl, as you know, hasn't been seen since February. But on Saturday, police in Putnam County joined in the search with members of Texas AquaSearch, combing an area that Misty Cummings mentioned when private investigators questioned her 2 weeks ago. Tonight, Misty Cummings talks more about those questions exclusively with our own Jessica Clark.
Well, good evening. Misty Cummings told me that she does not regret taking the test. In fact, she feels she passed the test. even though the independent test administrators say she failed them. Tonight she says she was duped into leaving town and surprised about the polygraph.
Ronald and Misty Cummings say they hoped Tim Miller of Texas EquiSearch was going to help them find missing Haley Cummings, but instead they claim he took them out of town and tricked them.
He called the phone and said that I'm going to take you to Orlando to get you away because your days are numbered. And I was like, okay. I didn't know what to say to him.
But Miller says he only offered to take them away from the stresses in Putnam County.
I asked if they wanted to get away for a couple of days just to get away, let their heads clear out and stuff.
When leaving Putnam County, Misty Cummings says she and her husband could not bring their cell phones with them.
Who told you that?
Tim Miller.
And did you ask why?
No.
No, that's false. Ronald was afraid to talk on his cell phone because Ronald said that his phone was tapped, Missy's phone was tapped, everybody's phone was probably tapped.
Miller did purchase prepaid phones for them so they could reach him and family. While in Orlando for 3 days and two nights, Miller says Misty Cummings wanted to take a polygraph test. Misty says she did not ask to take it.
I just, when I showed up there, they told me I was taking a polygraph. I was like, okay.
Did you at any point say, I don't want to do this?
No.
Okay, so right there, that's kind of where law enforcement is. I was duped into doing it. Did you want to take it? No. And this is something that, you just heard Tim Miller state earlier in the audio that I had, is that she asked for that. She signed a release. I have a copy of the release sitting on my desk. He said that she was having difficulty reading it, so they had someone read it to her and initial each and every line of the agreement. I've got the initials right here. How are you getting tricked if you're signing off on it?
I agree. I mean, it makes no sense. Now, one of the comments in that last audio clip is about tapped phones.
I've been hearing about that.
I mean, what's your take on it?
I don't know how you tap a cell phone. Mr. Wizard, and I don't know anything about tapping cell phones. I do know that you can tap a landline pretty easily. In fact, easier than you think. But a cell phone, that's a little different if you ask me. But I suppose that there's a technological guru who's going to hit us on the Twitter here and tell us all about it.
Oh, it is. The technology most definitely exists.
Good. Then there's a possibility that they believe is. That explains that, I guess.
Right. Yeah. The question though is, would the FBI go to such lengths? Yeah. I'm kind of iffy on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I believe this was under either the voice stress analysis or the hypnosis. There's this little story about her having a dream for people in the house.
Oh, yes.
What do you know about this bit?
I know that I have audio tapes that I've sent off to law enforcement, and I don't know how valid those audio tapes are. And if those audio tapes are in the least bit valid, at least four people's names are mentioned at being at that residence. And the integrity of the witness who's coming forward on this is a little bit suspect. Person is easily mixed up. ADHD on steroids, basically. It's just all over the place. It was very chaotic. It took 6 or 7 sound files to try to, and 40 minutes of listening hard, trying to figure out what this person was trying to say without saying anything. So I might have a whole bunch of nothing there, but if it does ring true, there's a possibility. Those people on that tape are a possibility. That's all I'll say. I'm not going to say anything definitive because I don't know. I'm just reporting. I'm not the forensic person. I'm not a detective. I don't play one on TV, and I try not to get into how investigators investigate. I only try to do my best to report what there is to be reported upon.
Right. With all of this sudden movement, what's next, do you suppose?
What's that?
What's next?
What is next is right now probably a little bit of damage control, and you may or may not see that with some of the attorneys now at play. Yeah, it was quite an explosive bit of television, quite a explosive bit of radio, and internet, and some radio going on today. As this unfolds, you're going to see all kinds of things quietly at play as they try to right the ship for their clients, Mr. Fields and Mr. Shoemaker. I don't know. This was just so difficult to try to figure out, and my sympathy now lies with the law enforcement and what they have to deal with a ship that's constantly being tossed on the sea, and that is the sea of inconsistencies. Stories that are one way one day, another way another day. And we saw an example of that play out right here with just the two different versions of what Misty had told Tim Miller, and then she had told the TV, and also what she had told the TV reporter a few days ago, and then changed the story a little bit to say she was duped a few days later after the results came public. So, you know, I'm pulling my hair out. All I really want to do is be able to wake up to a phone call from the Putnam County Sheriff's Office saying we have a press release and a press conference. The child's been found. That's really all I get out of this is just some kind of satisfaction that this child is going to be found some way somehow and found alive. But this whole thing is just being the heat is on and people are feeling it.
All of these, in many ways unconnected events that have unfolded over the last few days, have definitely put the heat back on the case, and that is, at least in my mind, a very good thing. I think it would be delightful to be a fly on the wall around the water cooler of the Putnam County Sheriff's Office. I mean, they must be looking at all of this and going, now things are starting to happen.
Wow. You know, if I'm LE, I'm just going to wait until they do happen and perhaps just gently turn up the heat where I can, slowly, like you're boiling a frog. Until the frog doesn't jump out of the pot. I will tell you, one of the questions came in asking, and I'm going to paraphrase on the Twitter, asking, how does Tim Miller feel about this? I mean, how does the family feel toward Tim Miller about that? Well, Tim Miller hasn't spoken to the Nevis or Cummings family, according to Tim, when I just hung up with him about an hour ago, since this took place. He did tell me he's coming back to do some more searches in about 4 or 5 weeks once the vegetation dies down, but he has not been in contact with the Nevis or Cummings since then, and he was quite surprised to hear, not quite, I think he was surprised at the level of anger that he is hearing expressed his way from Misty Cross and Cummings after the tests results were released.
Yes, I'm still amazed that she would have gone for it. You know, the police were actually very tight-lipped about the first polygraph test.
They still pretty much are. Some of this is kind of coming out through different channels, but
right.
Official enough. Let's just
right.
say,
but
it's,
I mean,
official enough.
You know,
you're not getting a press release with a stamp on it.
Right. And when those first polygraph tests were done, the only people that claimed that they had passed were Misty Cummings and Ronald Cummings.
Well, Crystal Sheffield said she passed too.
Okay, Crystal Sheffield. No, there's another one. Although, you know, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I think that's a bit of a long shot in the grand scheme of things.
Mm-hmm.
But just my my opinion.
Yep. And I understand.
The one thing that keeps going through my mind is that, yes, the heat is on Misty right now, but it's not the kind of heat that was on, let's say, Casey Anthony.
Right? No.
No one's saying, Misty, you did something really bad. People are just saying, Misty,
tell us what you know.
Right. Come on. Cough it up. You know, you know more than what you're saying.
Now, well, one thing that did turn up, Simon, and I'm sorry to jump on this, but I know I'm going to forget it. One thing that did jump out at me in this interview with Tim Miller here just a few minutes ago is that I asked, I said, you know, what if Misty felt threatened at the time this child was abducted? You know, he says, all I can tell you right now from the voice stress analysis and everything that his professionals did, because he'll tell you he's not a polygrapher. He's not a voice stress guy. He just arranged it with professionals who do that. So he was the arranger, the guy who arranged the test. He said they are telling him that this woman is now being driven by fear, and a lot of it. There's a lot of fear going on there, and they can't identify all of it, but it's probably a mixture of a lot of environmental issues, you know, sociological and physiological environmental issues, and one big looming thing, which is, you know, what did happen to Haley? And if a person is driven by so much fear, and this is only a theory, you know, do you block that out? Hard to say. He wouldn't answer that. He wouldn't go out on a limb. But he did say this woman right now is very fragile and is driven by a lot of fear.
Now, that fear could indeed just be overall
fear of going to jail.
Right.
It could be fear of going to jail.
Right. Or it could be fear that, you know, if she does open her mouth, it may not stay open for very long.
Meaning possible threats on her life? Yeah, that's all in the realm of possibility.
Right.
Very much, Simon.
What would be interesting would be to find out reactions from certain other people whose names have been mentioned. Amber Brooks,
mm-hmm.
Nene.
Mm-hmm.
The drug guy, I've forgotten his name right now.
Jerome Williams, Greg Page.
Yeah. Greg Page, White Boy Greg. There's also this business about Ronald the Gun and the Tree Cutter.
Mm-hmm. That story is very much out there, and that story has very much been followed. That story has been very much pursued. The thing is that you cannot report on things. I cannot report. I won't report on things in that manner until there is some kind of way of doing that that's not going to compromise an investigation. And if I can't get confirmation from those from whom I need to be getting confirmation from, other than let's just say, I'm going to reserve comment on that.
You're going to do a Ronald Cummings.
No, I'm being very honest with you. I know these stories, and I know many of these things check out for the most part, but until they check out 100%, I'm not going to get burned again. You know?
Right.
I got to tell you, I've done this for so many years, and I have never been burned as a reporter as I have been burned the three times that I have been burned on this story. And I swear to God, this story is toxic, because virtually anybody who's come in contact with it has had their butt in a sling one way or another in this. And this is some of the best. This is why a lot of the major, your ABC, NBC, CBS, national affiliates aren't covering this.
Mm-hmm.
This is a toxic story. It's a story that needs to be followed. We need to be... You know, I sure wish Cobra Stobbs would quit calling me while I'm on the air.
It's his favorite thing to do.
it's like he thinks that, by God, you know, what the hell are you doing? You know, I'm on the air. I can't be in a, like a, you know, a little two-way bubble here. But I love him to death. I love him to death, but he's got the darndest time. But
yes, he does.
But no, a lot of reporters, a lot of media outlets who've been involved with this are doing this and holding a very large stick and staying clean the hell away, because this story has a way of just biting anything and everything that comes near it.
Oh, you've seen it. I've seen it, and I watched with.
I've seen careers destroyed in this already.
Oh yes. When this case is finally solved,
mm-hmm.
I think there's going to be a lot of very interesting stories that can and will be told. In many ways, I liken this to the very first OJ criminal trial, you know, which turned somehow, instead of it being about OJ, it became a trial about all sorts of other people, and
mm-hmm.
careers were absolutely ruined in the process, and for the most part it was completely unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
and that's what I'm seeing a repeat of.
To a degree. I mean, there's a lot of common threads, I agree.
Yeah, and you know, the other case, which I followed and am indeed still following, is Casey Anthony. And
well, there are starting to be some very scary parallels right here.
Yes, there are. and I keep hearing the same names. And that just... Oh, it just doesn't sit well with me.
I mean, you're starting to hear Leonard Padilla. I mean, he made an offer right on this radio show on Sunday.
Right.
He made an open offer, and I understand that he perhaps tried to contact Misty at the home, and I'm hearing from friends of the family only that the calls might not be well received. But we don't know that at this point in time. But for a fact, that other than the friends of the family have been very good at getting communication both ways for us, so that their privacy is kept as private as possible. Now, that offer, which was rather stunning, he offered to give her safety, a safe haven, even fly her to Canada to get away from her environment, which may be the thing that's causing her a great deal of fear, fear from all kinds of pressures or perceived pressures or threats or perceived threats coming at God, from God knows who and God knows where. So he offered to fly her to Canada, offered her some counseling, offered her a free lawyer if she would accept that, just so she can get that story straight. And I thought that was a hell of an offer. But you got to wait, I guess, until the other shoe drops. You know, what's in it for Mr. Padilla? I mean, everybody wants to do the right thing. Everybody wants to do the good thing. But you do always have to kind of follow the money. I want to believe that the guy wants to do a good thing. And if that is truly it, that's a pretty good offer. If it's not it, at least the offer is in the right place, that perhaps maybe this very frightened young girl needs somebody she can really trust and open up to, and perhaps maybe a victim advocate. There are a couple there at the Putnam County Sheriff's Office. I don't know if that's been offered or not.
Right. You know, I did actually feel fairly sorry for Leonard. I'm sure he would have preferred to have made the offer in a more private format, but you know, he did what he did, and at least this way it is on the table, you know. And if Misty wants to contact him. I'm sure that she can find her way to a payphone and dial him collect or something. You know, is it good for Misty? I don't know. I'm with you.
Oh boy, I'm still just scratching my head. There's so much information I'm going through right now that I have to disseminate here. A lot of it's coming in at this stage of the game, and just as you made your statement, I looked at my screen. I'm going, oh God. So I have to ferret out a few things here. This is just absolutely crazy. But Misty does have to be taken care of in order to get the information out, and there are a variety of ways to perhaps facilitate that information. But she is the key, and we law enforcement, not we. I'm just a member of the press. I'm nobody. Law enforcement needs to find a way to get her to open up and trust somebody.
Right. In football terms, are we into the final 2 minutes?
We're in the 2 minute drill. Manage the clock and pick up some yards, and don't drop the ball. And I'll tell you what, that's the thing that has been resoundingly pounded in my head from the Putnam County Sheriff's Office is we're being very careful. We are not going to drop the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Now take that for what it's worth, but they want to make sure there are no slip-ups, and if this child is still alive, as they say they believe, they want her back alive.
Right.
And soon.
I was kind of surprised last Saturday, I think it was, Texas Equisearch turned up and did a search of several acres of wooded area. Supposedly it involved a comment that Misty had made.
Yes. Yeah, she had talked about a plastic rose, and she had mentioned something in casual conversation about this area where this rose was. It was a tract of land. It was behind the house. You know, you got the river, you got the house, and then you got the tract of land. And I think it was a 6-acre area, piece of ground. But the Texas Equisearch carried out that search with their crews, with volunteers. Now, the Putnam County Sheriff's Office was there, but they were only there as observers to make sure that no one exceeded their legal authority. And also, if something was found, they were present to be able to assist with handling any kind of evidence and getting it taken care of without contaminating it. The only evidence I'm aware of was the plastic rose being taken.
I would imagine that they were watching fairly carefully, rather than just observing.
Mm-hmm. they were, but they didn't want to. You know, they didn't want to come off like a heavy there. I mean, they just, you know, these people out there volunteering their time and effort. You know, God bless them. You know, they welcome these folks with open arms to help them out. It costs a lot to conduct a search. If they want to do it, and they've got everything all taken care of, and they've got the permission to do it, you know, carry it out. You know, they're looking for all the help they can get. I mean, they had to raise the taxes there to help offset some of the cost for this investigation. So, you know, it wasn't much of an increase, but it was something that had to be done because it had gone in.
Of course, the question that popped into my mind when Najim and Tim Miller announced that they were, you know, going to be back in the game in, at that point, 6 to 8 weeks after the summer growth had died down a little bit. Now, Tim had been out there, out in Putnam County, right after Haley disappeared, and a lot of the media, mainstream media, not bloggers, mainstream, mm-hmm. were reporting that Putnam County had basically asked him to stop it, to go away.
There was a misunderstanding, if I'm not mistaken, is that Tim had, there was not much that they hadn't covered at that point in time that wasn't already covered initially in those first several days on the ground, and that they had a paid engagement that they needed to take care of that they had been putting off, and that they, my understanding is that they had to take off to another state in order to take care of some business because, you know, your thing doesn't run, you know, on air. So it was a paid search, and they had to take care of it. I don't believe Putnam County ever told them, scram, get beat it, get lost. I think they made the announcement that they were going to scale back their investigation. And at that time, that's when the Texas EquiSearch decided that they were going to take on another obligation at that point.
Right.
So I think there was a miscommunication somewhere along the way. It's still a gray area, believe it or not.
Right, and I mean, you know, I've done some digging, and a lot of mainstream media, you know, did report that, you know, it was cease and desist, and that's why he left. So watch out, folks. Even the mainstream gets it wrong occasionally.
Yeah, I mean, it all depends on who you talk to and what state of mind somebody's in when they're doing the talking. So you gotta take that into consideration too. Because sometimes you can have somebody who's fired up about something completely different than the question you're asking. And they're gonna give you some throwaway answer just so you can get the hell out of their way. And you gotta be watchful of that. People are people, and there are humans.
TJ, I'm sure I've missed a couple of areas. What else would you like to talk about?
Well, another thing that happened is that when Misty was talking about being duped in the interview that she opened up with to First Coast News, by the way, that's a premier organization. They have all kinds of resources and all kinds of people, and God love them. They do a great job serving their television audience, and hats off to them. She stated that they weren't allowed to take their cell phones with them when they were going down to Orlando for the polygraph at the James office. And the thing was, is you know, she was asked, who told you that? And she said, Tim Miller. Well, Miller, as I talked to him, and you also heard on the videotape, he reiterated on the audio tape that I had, he said, that's false. That's just patently false. He said Ron had talked about his cell phones being bugged, and we covered that. And so they thought, well, maybe it's a good idea if you just leave him at home. Ron was worried that his phone also had GPS in it, and they would know where he was and this, that, and the other. So Tim gave him some prepaid phones, you know, those little cheap ones that you buy at the gas station,
mm-hmm.
and the little cheap jobs. So they took them, you know, with them, and that was it, you know, and that was the end of that story. So that's another thing that was kind of big, nasty, and dispelled. There was the thing about your days are numbered, to which Tim says, no, I don't think it quite came out like that. I don't think it came out like that. It said the day will come when perhaps law enforcement wants to put the handcuffs on you. He didn't say your days are numbered. He claims that he didn't say that. And when we post that up on the websites, a version for you and a different version on mine, you'll be able to hear the two sound files that we're going to attach to it. He said it was along the lines of, you know, the time's running out for the day will come, but he didn't recall actually saying your days are numbered, as she stated. So, again, different versions and some inconsistencies. And I'm telling you, as soon as these inconsistencies get ironed out, you can actually get out of the gate. And that, you know, why has this taken so long? You can't get out of the gate.
Right.
You don't have the timeline. You have different versions of a timeline, so you're following about a half a dozen different timelines. And what happens? You got a thin force, and you're chasing, you know, six different directions instead of one.
Right. Actually, the timeline. Going back to Ronald Cummings on Nancy Grace last night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I seem to recall she asked him fairly pointedly about, you know, what Misty had told him. And he said, well, she's telling me the same thing that she's telling everyone else.
First of all, he said she doesn't tell me nothing.
Yes, that's very true. She did say that. Now, you know, that statement by itself gives you pause for thought. You know, this is his wife he's talking about.
Yeah, he said, she doesn't tell me nothing. Then he reframed it and said, she doesn't tell me nothing that she hasn't already told the cops. And to him, it's consistent. So evidently they have a, you know, but there was a backpedal there. And then he rephrased it and stated it probably the way he wanted it to come out in the first place. I do believe that that some of what he had to say was very rehearsed in that interview with Nancy Grace last night. Sorry, ladies. I love my bosses. In that when he was asked about the polygraph, it was quickly shifted. He quickly shifted that focus to let's keep Haley in the TV. Let's keep Haley out there. And by golly, people do have to do that. You have to keep Haley front and center. So he wasn't completely wrong in doing what he did. But you can tell that that was something that was very strategically rehearsed before they went on the air, because the attorney did the same thing, and Nancy called shenanigans on both of them.
Right, and I mean that was absolutely clear. You know, from the moment Ron opened his mouth, you knew that nothing useful was going to come out, and Nancy hammered on him, and you made the comment that she appeared to be getting a little irritated,
mm-hmm.
and that was abundantly clear. And I would suspect that Mr. Shoemaker was kicking Ron under the table.
Yeah, well, you know, I can tell you he was stressed out. He was very stressed out, very, very, very stressed out about this whole ordeal. I mean, you could tell, you know, the guy lost, God, a ton of weight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the TV put 16 pounds on you. Well, even if that's the case, he lost a lot. So, you know, he's feeling it. He's feeling it, and for reasons only he knows, beyond the fact, of course, the obvious, that his daughter's missing.
Right. I still come back to the question that, you know, I've been asking myself for almost 7 months now. It'll
mm-hmm.
be 7 months in a few days. You know, is the little girl still alive?
Yeah, as far as I know, as far as Ellie will speak, that she hasn't stopped walking, talking, breathing. Nobody has seen her do anything. You know, they haven't seen anything that would suggest the child is dead. They have not, seen a dead body. They've not seen any evidence that would say anything other than an abduction has
right.
taken place,
mm-hmm.
and not a stranger abduction.
Actually, as a slight aside, but I think this is a good opportunity to say this. On the article that I published this morning that I got from you, TJ.
Oh, the big long one?
the big long one, the major rant. You included a picture of Haley and the fact that she has a birthmark.
She has two.
Right. And one commenter, and bless their little cotton socks, said, or I can't remember the exact wording, but this isn't news. I don't think that you were trying to make the picture news. You were trying to say, hey, folks, if you happen to see a little girl at a water park or wherever, and she's got a birthmark like this.
Well, I'll tell you what, her family and the friends of the family have been dying to get FDLE to update that on the Amber Alert, just busting their hump to get that done. And, I honestly, 4 weeks ago, I was going to do that, and it slipped my mind. And I one of the people that listened to our radio show and blog on your site, and who contact me from time to time, and in fact had a lot to do with one of the balloon launches, reminded me late last night. You know, hey, you know, so thank you. My bad in not getting that picture out. You see, they're still in Florida. People might not know this, but there's still another good 6 to 8 weeks of summer left. It doesn't quite get away till about the middle of October, and then it's quickly.
Is that when the snow starts?
Yeah, that's just when it's not exactly 90. See, you got hotter than hell, and then pretty damn good. Those are your two seasons, you know. Pretty damn good's coming up, but it's still hotter than hell. So you're going to have a child in a sundress. You're going to have a child in a swimsuit. You're going to have a child in a halter top. And although that was taken when she was still in diapers, that birthmark on her back is still there, and they thought it was very important to stick that out. So I stuck my head out on the block, and with the blessing of many, I put that on there. I don't know how well he's going to feel about it, but you know what the hell? You know, if this is going to help find the child. Now, Teresa Neves, God bless her. This woman, she's a nice lady, and I've spent time with Teresa on the sets of Nancy Grace and also at the tents and everything early on. And there were times, you know, when things got tough, we held each other's hands on that set. And she got a grip, especially, you know, when she's praying as she's speaking. She's praying as she's trying to hold on while the questions are getting tough. And when things are just getting very hard for her to hang on to. You don't soon forget people whose hands you hold in a time of crisis and need. You don't. But Teresa made mention of this on one of the Nancy Grace episodes, that when you're looking for this girl with blonde hair and a beautiful smile, also take a look at her cheek, because she has a peanut-shaped birthmark on her cheek. And that's something that you barely see in the picture. But please, folks, if you see this lovely little girl, and you notice that birthmark on the cheek, drop what you're doing. Call police immediately. And if you see this young lady with similar traits, you know, the blonde hair and what have you, and you see that birthmark on the back, you know, I'd rather someone make a case of mistaken identity than to not make a call at all. And on behalf of some very dear friends, and on behalf of those who love Haley, I want to urge you to, just look twice when you see a little person who might fit that description. You know, you might say, "Oh, well, that's somebody's kid." Well, okay, there are a lot of cases now where people have taken other people's kids and tried to make them their own. So don't assume anything. So if the child looks anything like missing Haley, do your due diligence. Look for that birthmark on the cheek. And if the child is wearing something that doesn't have a back on it, or is a two-piece outfit, and you do spot that birthmark, call. Just call. Be safe, okay?
Right. So whoever the commenter was, and I'll leave their name out of it, we were not declaring that this was an exclusive.
No, heck no.
Merely that this might be a tool. You know, next time you're out somewhere, take a look.
Mm-hmm.
TJ, our time's pretty much up here. Do you have any final thoughts for us?
Let's just watch this unfold for right now, and let's just pray for a good outcome. Let's hope that those who are feeling pressure or feel like they're feeling pressure find a way to ease their burden, unload their minds, unload their conscience, and unload the truth, or unload some facts that police, law enforcement can actually work on in order to safely bring this child home, put the perpetrators behind bars. Ron said it last night. Let's find out who did this and fry him. I mean, I'm a man of the Catholic faith, so I am not a proponent of the death penalty, but I do understand how people feel that way. I do.
Right.
Although I don't condone it, I understand it.
I think the one thing I would say is that there is someone out there, other than Misty, that knows something. Please,
I imagine there's a handful of people out there,
right,
who know something.
Yeah, I mean, please call someone. It doesn't have to be Leonard Padilla. You know, call Crime Stoppers. Call TJ. Call me. Call anyone, but call someone. TJ, I really want to thank you for talking with me today. I think we've covered a huge amount of ground. And I apologize to the listeners that we weren't accepting calls. It was not that we didn't want to talk to you. It was there's a lot of information we wanted to get into your ears.
Mm-hmm.
TJ, thank you so much for being
Simon.
On the show. Okay, let's talk again soon.
Alrighty, thank you very much, and I hope this has made a difference for folks. And once again, look for that child and be very, very careful. Look for that peanut-shaped birthmark and the birthmark on the back. Call.
TJ, we will talk again. Goodbye.
Goodbye.